Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side. A large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come, lay your hand on her, that she may get well and live." Jesus went off with him, and a large crowd followed. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet she was not helped, but only worsened. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But the disciples said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, yet you ask who touched me?" And he kept looking around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." As he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." Jesus did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of the commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So as he went in, he said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know about this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Today in the first reading, we get to the climax of the letter to the Hebrews in our biennial 4-week liturgical meditation. We've already heard that Jesus is the message and the messenger. We've already heard that he wishes to lead us precisely through sharing his sufferings to the glory of the children of God. We've already focused on how he is the high priest who has pierced the veil and anchors us in hope to all God's promises. We've already met so many who with holy hupomone continue to persevere in faith all the way to the end. And today we see them almost as a full stadium, this great cloud of witnesses cheering us on to share their victory. The sacred author tells us that they surround us, exhorting us to rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, all those balls and chains that hold us down, all the doubts, all the feeling of guilt, all the shame. To rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us and persevere in running the race that lies before us. To persevere with this endurance, not just in crawling, not just in having a polite Sunday stroll, but in running the race of faith. And the way we're able to do it, the author specifies, is by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. To keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus, who's constantly guiding us and who's constantly seeking to bring our faith to completion, to help it to grow. But it's not just any image of Jesus. It's not just Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes in Mary's arms, perhaps is less threatening. It's not just Jesus as a warm, cuddly teddy bear consoling us. It's Jesus on the cross. The author says, for the sake of the joy that lay before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken a seat at the right of the throne of God. Jesus guides and perfects our faith precisely by helping us to endure the cross, to despise the shame of suffering, so that we might take our seat with him on his throne. The author builds, consider how Jesus endured such opposition from sinners. Why'd he do it? So that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus taking on our humanity and allowing that humanity to be crushed, but constantly getting up on that way of the cross. He fell those times so that we might not grow weary and lose heart. So that we might know that that cloud of witnesses is still cheering us on to cross that eternal finish line. And he finishes the passage. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. This race is going to end in martyrdom, in a real witness to the extreme of what you think your capacity is. Out of faith in Christ and in all that he has promised. This is the Christian life. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, who guides and perfects our following him in faith. Despising the shame of the cross and of suffering. And ready, in fact eager, to shed our blood together with him. Today we've got three great examples of those who keep their eyes fixed on Jesus in faith. First we have Jairus. Jairus was a synagogue official. By this point, as we know, Jesus was already kicked out of the synagogue. For Jairus to go up to Jesus would almost be like joining the Communist Party in the 1950s. It was something that would have brought him incredible shame, incredible derision. But with faith he approached Jesus anyway. Because he loved his girl, and he knew what Jesus was capable of. Looking Jesus in the eyes, after adoring him by falling to the ground, he said, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hand on her so that she may get well and live." What an incredible act of trust in what Jesus was capable of doing. And Jesus immediately left to be with him. Jairus continued to keep his eyes fixed on Jesus. When Jesus paused along the journey, he kept his eyes fixed on Jesus. When he got the news that his daughter had died and he shouldn't trouble the teacher any longer. He kept his eyes fixed on Jesus. When Jesus confronted the mourners and said to their derision that she was just sleeping, he kept his eyes fixed on Jesus as Jesus entered the room. And I like to think he kept his eyes fixed on Jesus with gratitude after Jesus lifted his daughter up and instructed them to give her something to eat. Often when we're young, we get our reactions, especially in situations in fear, from the people that we trust. We look to them to see how we should respond. Jairus was continuously looking at Jesus at each of these phases. If Jesus was confident, Jairus would be confident. If Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, just have faith," he looking at Jesus would take heart and trust still. How much we can learn about this importance of likewise keeping our eyes fixed. Similarly, we see in this woman afflicted with this hemorrhage for 12 years, who is now dirt poor from exhausting all her savings, trying to find some solution to the bleeding. She kept her eyes fixed on Jesus in the middle of the crowd, and crawling on the ground, she touched his hem. And after Jesus had known that healing power had gone out from him, was turning around in that crowd, constantly bumping against him to look who had touched him in a different way, look at who had touched him in a different way. She, with shame, approached Jesus, knowing that by touching him as she was bleeding, she had made him ritually impure. He's going to have to go through the cold baths in order to enter into any place of worship, etc. But Jesus couldn't keep his eyes off of her. And as she lifted up to see that gaze, he said, in words that show how he's the leader and perfecter of faith, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go and be cured of your affliction." The perfection of faith is salvation. And Jesus wishes to give us that gift. We have to keep our eyes fixed on him. And not just stop there with a gaze, as important as that is, but to reach out to him, to touch him in faith, so that he might similarly allow his healing power to bring our faith to its perfection and salvation. The third figure we have is Saint Agatha, who died during the persecution of Decius in Catania, Sicily in 251. She was a young girl, just like this girl raised from the dead. Sweet little child of a beloved mom. We don't know where the dad was. We think the dad had died by this point. But when Quintian, the local leader, had fixed his lustful eyes on her, thinking that because he had power, he had the right to steal the virginity of any girl he wanted in Catania. She resisted because her faith was fixed on Jesus. He, in a rage at her rebuffing him, threatened her with sending her to a brothel, to a prison, to being tortured, to being killed. She kept her eyes fixed on Jesus. We still have recorded the prayer she made. "Jesus Christ, my Lord, you know my heart. Possess all that I am and give me the strength not to be overwhelmed by the devil." Jesus gave her that strength. She kept her eyes fixed on him to the shedding of her blood. And now she gazes on him forever in the beatific vision. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, St. Agatha is among that great cloud of witnesses praying for us, that as the Lamb of God is about to be shown to us, we might truly behold him with the eyes of faith. We might fix our gaze on him so that he may possess all that we are. And as we reach out to touch him, be touched by him in a way that will help us to continue to run the race, despising the shame of suffering, to the point of shedding blood, and to the point of being washed fully in the blood of the Lamb. Praise be Jesus Christ.